to go to children's church. The rest of you, if you would be so kind to turn in your Bibles with me to the first chapter of the book of James. We're going to be reading there today from James 1, verses 19 through 25. Who is that? Is that Amos? He's happy about it. All right. Let's read. James 1, 19 through 25 says this. It says, "Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, and goes away, and at once forgets what he's like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. We thank you with our whole selves this morning, Lord, for your word, that you are the word, the logos, the continual, unending fountain of expression that comes from the very heart of God, that you are that. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the scriptures through which you speak to us that word, and you teach us, and you implant in us the things of yourself that you would have us echo and reflect. And so, Lord, today as we look into the scriptures and as we examine ourselves as your church, as your body, as we lay ourselves on the altar, Lord, and seek your voice, your truth, your light, we pray that you would visit us, Lord, and in our humility, come and speak to us the things that you want to speak to us today. We pray, Father, that this would be a time that glorifies you. And I pray especially this morning, Lord, that you would guide my heart and smooth my wrinkles this morning as I try to share the things that you've laid in me to share this morning. So we give this time to you, Father, and we ask you to show up and flood this place with your spirit. In your name, amen. Oh. We find ourselves, I guess I find myself and you along with me, because we're all in this together, at a point of convergence this morning. And it's interesting, just even as we sing that, we sang that song, I give my life, it's all that I have to give, right? I was going to withhold a lot this morning that I personally just, I'm juggling, I guess, in my mind and heart and things as from this weekend and everything. But you know what? I realized as we were singing that song, and I'm looking at you because, like, you know all the things, Tony, that I was going through this weekend. But as we sing that song, that's what God does is he takes our lives. We say, God, I give you my life. You are my life. And so he takes it, and then he uses it then to reveal himself to us. Yeah, that's what he does. We give him our life, and then he uses it. And so I guess I'll share some things today, but that I wasn't going to share. I ask for grace and all of that. We'll say, though, that it's interesting. We skipped over some things in verses 17, 18 that are important that I did want to just make a note of. So if you're studying this, I mean not if, as you're studying this book, as we go through it, don't skip over verse 17, the Father of lights with whom there is no variation or shadow to change, unchanging God. That's amazing to think about and to ponder. No shadow of turning, no hint of inconsistency. It's powerful, especially when contrasted with us, who are blown to and fro and who are inconsistent. And verse 18, that you and I were created to be a sort of first fruits. That's intense. You know what? The first fruits were like the special, the holy portion, God's portion. That's us. That's intense. That's real. And that's us. So we're set aside as God's portion. But it skipped right over that. As we go into verses 19 here, we get simple instruction. It's very simple, is it not? I don't know if that's me, Spud. Maybe, are you willing to turn down the other channels besides me just to see if... Okay. Maybe it is me. Anyway, simple instruction in this passage. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Simple, right? Simple instructions. But I think you and I realize, don't we, if we take time to realize how, if we will take time to notice how deeply that reaches into us, because that's not just something we can just, okay, sure, got it. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Okay, I'm good. No. It's one of actually one of my favorite, maybe one of my pet things to think about is noticing, you know. Jeb is my noticing child. We'll be going down the road and he'll see every bird and, you know, possum on the side of the road or fox running through the timber or whatever. He's the one that always sees it. And I value that a lot because I like to think that I go through life noticing, right? I just got done talking last week. You'll remember. Pay attention. Tune our hearts. Tune our minds into these things, right? What's true? Let the term sink in. What's honorable? What's just? Pure. Pure. What is lovely? Commendable, excellent, worthy of praise. I left you with a challenge. Did it work? Anybody spend time on that this week? I tried, you know, like everybody else. I told you, though, at the end of the message last week, I told you, I challenged you to do that, right? And I told you what would happen if we did it. Glad you're all paying attention. No, I'm teasing you. We'll find them. Right. Yeah. Good, Valerie. I told you that if we obey that command in Philippians that to look at these things, to think about these things, that we would come alive, that we would be teeming with life and joy and peace and everything that is good. Now, it doesn't happen in a week. It reaches very deep into us to change the way we think, and see. But I want to hold an idea out this morning, and I'll confess, we're going to take a little bit of, again, always, right? It's Joe, it's you, always. We're going to take the long way around this morning, because I want to lay in front of you something that we've got to keep central, we have to keep central. And this morning, it was a perfect example. I told you it's a convergence. A convergence this morning of a lot of things that we can draw from to learn this lesson. Number one, and I was going to not talk about the race at all. I thought, I'm going to leave it alone. But it was a consuming thing for me this week. So I made a big deal last week. We built this car. We're going to go race and everything, and it was all exciting. I tell you what, guys, you bowl me over with love. Then we had like 30 people in the stands. I had a whole cheering section. There was a sign. There was costumes. Everybody was excited. And I felt like I just blew it. You know, Thursday we had it going, everything was good, and then goes the car wouldn't start with the car died about an hour before Bible study on Thursday. That's what night it was, wasn't it, Mark? Thursday night, and yeah, I called Mark, the doctor. Doc, help me out. I worked on it all night Thursday night after Bible study, all day Friday. We went to Waterloo for parts. We went back to front, did everything we could think of to do. Had a whole team of people working right up to my heat. I drew front row in the fourth heat. We were going to win. Car would not start. Now, you're feeling it with me, right? We've done everything. We've done everything. But, so that sort of thing. We all have those things in our lives, right? Where we just do everything we can think of to try to get it done, and it just doesn't happen. We don't know why, and here we sit. Then we come together, and you guys, this morning, We've come like this close to just going totally off the rails about 3 or 4 times this morning. You know, it's Mother's Day and everybody's excited to be with each other and lots of fun stuff to talk about. Every time we come together, it's a beautiful and there's energy and love. And we've got pains and we've got prayer requests and we've got just things everybody's... And so today, and we come together and it sort of converges into this, what we have right now. Look around. This is us. But something is nagging, not nagging, but like, it's so important that I want to hold it out, and I'm willing to take the time this morning to hold out to all of you there that in all of the things that we do together, and I will tell you what, the race car this week was definitely a spiritual thing. You guys were all involved, and I know that, you know, we are all involved in each other's lives. My problems are your problems, and your problems are my problems. When we come together, all of the things that we do, our lives, the songs that we sing, the offering that we give, the work that it represents, that you guys sitting and listening to me, all of these things, you see, we have to, the studying, reading, preaching, teaching, singing, giving, serving, loving, listening, the camp out, are for a reason. They're for a reason. It's not just because all my friends will be there. It's going to be a great time. Why are you here? There's really only one answer that's right, okay? Now, I'll accept others, you know, and maybe you're not quite there to the answer that I want you to say yet, and that's okay. That's totally fine. Why are you here? Well, let's put it this way. The reason that we exist, at least in for my part, is to pursue a transformation. That's the reason. To pursue a transformation by God in my life and in yours. That's why we're here. That's why we sing. That's why we gather. That's why we party. That's why we feast. That's why we pray. That's why we help each other. The reason that we're in this is to be made like Jesus, to be reborn. That's why. We gotta, church, we gotta keep that in front of us. Because as much as I like to party with you guys, and I do love it, we gotta keep Jesus first to cultivate the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. And I printed them again on the back of the bulletin this morning because I think we gotta think about these things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We are here to get to a point to try, okay? None of us will arrive in our lives. We'll never say, I'm there. But we're here to work, to pursue a transformation so that we can get to a point where, and I understand it's a process, where what comes out of me matches what comes out of God. Those fruits, right? These are the things that come out of God. That's what we're pursuing. That's what we're trying to do with all of this. When we meet together, that's why. That's why. To seek Jesus and to have him come out of us, to have him get in us and come out of us. Also, when we meet and interact with strangers outside of our fellowship, some of whom are very, very, very different than us. We're not all the same, I get that. There's lots of differences even in here, and that's beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. But we rub shoulders with others in our lives, don't we, that are, 180 degrees off from where we are. You know, they're wrong. Whatever. You get it, right? Love. See, we're pursuing that coming out of us. Love coming out when we meet strangers that are 180 degrees opposite of us. That's a fruit of the Spirit. When love comes out when we meet people that grate on us. That joy comes out when things don't go as we had hoped. I had to wrestle with that one this week. Serious. That we have peace in the deepest places in our hearts when we're busy, 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 busy. See, I'm applying these fruits Right? That's what counts. Kindness when we're overwhelmed. Oh man, that's when I'm not kind. When the kids and chaos and work and demands and to be kind then, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. See, we have to plug our lives into these ideas like a sensor on a camshaft. No, sorry. I'll stop. I really will stop. I really will. It's low-hanging fruit, guys. It's really low. Anyway, we got to plug our lives into these truths, you see? We can know them all we want. But until we actually engage where do I lack love? Where do I lack peace? Where do I lack joy? Where do I lack self-control? All of these things, that's where we have to live, church, see? We don't live at coffee time. That's easy. We have to engage the Word with our lives. To let God express through us. Now, those of you who went through the discipleship class, and many of you probably who have done this study on your own, understand the idea of the Logos, the Word. And it, another one of my pet things. I love this idea, this idea that God is and always has been and always will be continuously expressing. There will be something coming, just expression all the time, idea, thought, truth, power, love, all the things that he is are continuously pouring out of himself. The Word, that's the concept, is that is the substance that's pouring out of him, the divine expression. We want that to pour from us too. Now here's, some of you have already drawn the lines and already done the math, but here's where today's passage comes in. I know it's a long way around. That's okay. Life is a long way around sometimes. We want, kind of already said it, but I'll say it again. We want God's expression to pour from us and not my natural expressions. Okay? I want God to express through me, not my natural expressions. We all know our default setting. And it pops directly into mind when we plug our lives into these first verses. Be what, church? Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Yeah. I've said this before, and I don't know how it was received, but I said before that all of us, every single person in here, whether they know it or not or would ever admit it or not, are relationship experts. We are. We're all relationship experts. We are experts in communication and relationship between people. And what I mean by that is we all understand relationships because we all have them. I have a relationship with every single person in here that's been born. Okay, I'll give you that one. People will say, and this is to highlight a point, I'm not a people person. That's because you're self-centered. Come on, I'll step on some toes, but it's true. If you say, I'm not a people person, I don't like people, well, that's because you're self-centered. Get over it. We all understand, don't we? We get it. Okay, again, plugging in our lives. Conversation between two people, you and somebody else. Okay? Now, I thought and thought and thought about how I could frame this so that everybody would be just a little bit offended, but nobody too much. And I couldn't really come up with anything. But think of a conversation between you and another person. So I have to speak in vagaries, I'm sorry. A stranger, okay? Or maybe better off, your spouse. Or a close friend, for those of you who aren't married, okay? Somebody that unfortunately, our spouses sometimes are the people we disagree with most just because we're in contact with them the most. Do you understand what I mean by that? Okay, so you picture yourself in a conversation. Maybe it's a stranger, maybe it's your spouse, or maybe somebody else, a good friend, somebody that you that knows how to get under your skin. Not that they always do, but that knows how to get under your skin, okay? Now, they make, during the course of conversation, some kind of reckless declaration. They just haul off and say something that just, like, challenges what you hold dear, whether that's your work or whether that's what you believe is right or wrong. Maybe they insult God in front of you and that really gets your blood pumping, or your intellect, or your accomplishments. I'll give you one that gets me, okay? So you get understand. I had a hard time thinking about this too, but this one really does get to me, because I tend to try to be an even-keeled kind of guy. Now anybody who does this is going to be like, oh, he's not watching, is he? Okay, potluck. We're at the potluck. There's something that's really good. There's something that everybody wants, right? And there's 100 people in line. And the fourth person in line, what do? They come up and they just start globbing it onto their, just fill their plate up with the one thing that they know everybody wants just because they got there first. I can get my blood up just thinking about that. I want to go up there, and I want to snatch that plate away and put it back and give them a little scoop. There you go. Get out of here, you know. Come on. The truth is, what I'm trying to say is, there's plenty in this world to get angry about, and some of it is absolutely 100% justifiable anger. Huh? I was looking at the news this morning. I just briefly looked because I wanted to talk about this a little bit. So I go to the news, and I look at all the things that are going on in the world and in the country, and whew, make your head explode. I mean, without even getting into examples, people made in God's image that are being killed and hurt and abused, used and thrown away. There are people being robbed blind by criminals, and there are people being robbed blind by governments. It's the fall of man right in front of us. Depravity. God being totally erased from the culture, systematically attacking the family and the image of God that's on us, everything, you know, everybody trying to rearrange things. I don't have to, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's plenty in our lives, not only just rude people, but just there's brokenness that's plenty to be upset about. It's plenty to be angry about, and nobody would fault you for being angry after all, right? Jesus, what did he do? That's right. He went into, this was supposed to be a holy thing. Now, we talked about it before, right? The things that God calls holy, the Ten Commandments. His name and our word, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't honor your parent, honor your father and mother. God is telling us, sorry, I'm getting run away. All that energy from not racing is coming out. God tells us what is sacred, and every single one of those things is under attack. That should make us upset. It should. That is a proper response. Jesus himself, when he saw that the temple had been desecrated and was being abused, took the time, and I love it, he took the time to braid a whip before he went in there. Yes. Yeah. And see, just to make it full circle, when we fix our eyes, church, friends, on what is honorable and what is just and what is pure and what is lovely and what is commendable and excellent and praiseworthy, what else are we going to see? Every single thing that isn't. Because we're actually measuring what we see now. See what I mean? So it's like a two-edged sword. But the scripture here says, watch out. He doesn't actually say watch out. I'm telling you, because of what it says here, watch out. Because this, the anger of man does not produce righteousness. It says here, Verse 20, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. In other words, not the kind of righteousness that God is seeking after. Jesus did what he did for a reason, and other men have been justified in actions similar throughout the ages. But when, let me just ask you this, in a conversation, in a relationship with somebody, we're all experts, remember? We have relationships. When was the last time that getting angry at someone you disagreed with make them change their mind? Anybody, can any of you give one example of a time when getting angry with someone you disagreed with got them to change their mind? Watch out. What kind of righteousness is God after? Your hearts that look like his. He talks all about it. If you look at Matthew 5 through 7, talks the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is laying out what the kingdom, what the new covenant kingdom is going to look like. And he takes all the commandments that God had called sacred earlier, and he raises them to the superlative. He says, not only don't murder, don't be angry, because being angry is the same as murdering. Not only don't commit adultery, but don't even look at a woman with lust, it's the same thing as committing adultery. He takes them all and raises them up to the impossibly high standard. God wants pure hearts that look like his. The kingdom of the new covenant, it can't be taken by anger, it can't be taken by any kind of coercion, any kind of force, or threats. That's the way the world works. Jesus did it by becoming a servant to all, even to the point of death. That's heavy, church, to think about. See, simple instructions. They're easy instructions. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. But they reach so deep. They reach to the center of who we are, don't they? Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? Okay, so what's James's answer? We're familiar with the problem. What's the answer? Humility with meekness. Receive the word, the implanted word, the logos. And I looked it up in the Greek. It is logos. Receive that with meekness, with humility. Make yourself low and receive inside of you God all the way in to the center. It is able, it says, to save your souls. We have to be born again. We need a new heart, a new middle. Ours is rotten. Be doers, verse 22, not hearers. One last promise. Isn't it so obvious? It's painfully obvious. And some of you might think of me when I say this. I hope not. Maybe they will. Is it not painfully obvious to watch somebody pretend to be something they're not? Oh, it's painful. Who wants to be like that? Anybody? Anybody want to be that guy that walks around and it's painfully obvious that he is not what he's trying to be or she? No, we don't want to be like that. How do we do truth, church? We be like Jesus. We work. We try. We strive. We fight to be like Jesus. He is the Word, remember? It's all full circle. He is the Word. We need to let him, his substance, his person, all that he is from the beginning till now, in to us, and let it go all the way deep. One more. Okay, one more. Will you give me one more race story? One more? Okay, thank you guys. I really do appreciate it. lot of times during that race, you'd see these, and I think I explained a little bit last week, and yeah, some people have no idea what I'm talking about. But there was a race this weekend, and it was the Redneck Rally Race. They basically built this sort of like a motocross track, you know, with hills and jumps and stuff, and then they raced cars on it. And little economy front-wheel drive cars are not meant to be driven on mud motocross tracks. They're not. And so what happened inevitably is that they would be abused to the point of failure. And many times throughout that race, you'd see them where the transmission would go out, basically. And so they'd be, beep, 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 and they would just stop moving. And they'd be standing on the throttle, and it'd be limiting out, you know, beep, 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 and it would stop moving. It's got to be engaged. What I mean to say is, you and I, we can rev our motor all we want, and unless we can get it in gear, get motion, be moving, it's all a waste. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. For if anyone is a hearer and is not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and he goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, who is Jesus? Jesus is the perfect law. The one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, will be blessed in his doing. A promise. Amen? Let's grab a hold, church, together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the perfect law, the perfect word, the expression from God, made flesh, so that we can see and can understand. Lord, help us. Help us to fix our eyes on you. Help us to be doers, and not just hearers. Help us to be the kind of people who don't just walk around life pretending and deceiving ourselves, that walk out and just forget everything that we heard. Let us not be like that, Lord. Help us to do what it takes to get you inside all the way to the center part of who we are, that what might come out of us, Lord, would be from you and not from our baser instincts and our human flesh. Lord, we need you. Help us to be born again. Give us that life that you promise. And Lord, as we try, we pray that you would bless us in our pursuit and in our acting. We love you, Lord. We give you all these things. In your name, amen.